Okay, I want to talk a little about the tillage aspects of this, because many times when we talk about organic matter and building organic matter levels, we think, well, we've got to get away from any kind of tillage at all. Our work on the farm has shown that not to be the case. And so we've got Eric Moore with Environmental Tillage Systems with us. Eric, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you fellas doing today?
We're doing well. We're doing well. We're talking organic matter today, and we've been building our levels on our farm with strip tillage. And some guys say, what? You have to go no-till if you want to build it. I totally disagree, and our results on the farm over the last 20 years would support that. What are you seeing, Eric, as guys talk to you about going from no-till to strip-till, or going from conventional till to strip-till? What kind of impact has that made in the soil?
You know, really, I think you've hit on a great point. With strip-till, we do see an increase in organic matter the longer we stay in strip tillage. And I think a lot of that comes from increasing that soil structure and allowing our plants to develop a bigger, more fibrous root mass to a greater depth as well. That root mass is going to contribute a great deal of organic matter over time that stays in that soil. So if we can increase our water holding capacities, those infiltration rates, and really through strip tillage, decrease the amount of resistance that root mass has as far as growing to greater depths, that's going to allow us to build those organic matters as well.
You know, I think about that root mass and how big a role that plays into building organic matter and just building the soil in general. One of the things we've done with strip tillage is if we've got corn rows on 30-inch rows, 30-inch spacings, we'll move over in between those rows and build next year's strip. Is that how you would recommend it, or do you see a lot of guys going directly on top of last year's rows?
You know, it really varies by the irrigation practices or the other practices that come up on those farms. If, let's say, for instance, somebody is on gravity irrigation and they have to create those ridges every year, just field parameters and dimensions may dictate that they need to go back onto those old rows. I think that's an okay practice. It does provide some challenges in managing those old root balls. If they have the capability to shift over and split their row spacing, that's the method that I would prefer, because it helps us manage that residue, leaves last year's crop as far as that root mass and those root balls to create water channels and to mineralize and decompose out there to provide nutrients for that next year's crop. So given the opportunity, I would prefer to split the rows.
You know, leaving last year's residue in place is one of the hardest things for my dad when we switched away from conventional tillage. What do you find being the challenges for guys who are used to seeing fields black, but now all of a sudden they've got to look at last year's residue for quite a while during the next season?
Yeah, and really it's kind of a change in mindset to looking at that residue not as a detriment and as a challenge, but how can we look at that residue as the benefits that it brings us? We know that it can be a challenge in getting seed to soil contact and getting a nice warm soil, and that's where strip-till allows us to do that, to get that seed to soil contact and that warm soil to where we can get mineralization of that organic matter, because, you know, that organic matter can provide a great deal of nitrogen and sulfur and minerals to that crop, but if we don't have good aeration and we don't have good temperature and moisture, that mineralization doesn't occur in a timely fashion. So if we can leave those residues between the row and save water with those residues out there, if we get into a drought situation like a lot of areas are this year, cutting those evaporative losses can add anywhere from 2.5 to 4.5 inches of available moisture during that grain fill period. So if we can save that moisture by leaving those residues and increase our grain fill moisture availability, but still strip till those other strips and get nutrient availability, I think that's where we have to look at those residues as having value in our operations.
What about cover crops and dealing with that? I was just talking with a farmer up in southern North Dakota who does a lot of strip tillage, and I've been on his farm. I've seen his cover crops that he's had, and he said it's really adding to the whole mix for him. He's building organic matter faster, although it's not this fast thing that you just change it from 2% to 6% overnight. But he said it's going up at a faster rate where he's putting the cover crops in. He thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. What's been your experience with the cover crops?
You know, and the cover crop experience really depends on where you're located. If water is a limiting factor to crop production, that adds some challenges with the cover crops as far as getting, how do you keep a moisture availability out there? The other thing is, can we, use those cover crops to get a better, a drier planting bed in the springtime? But I do think that the benefit of cover crops is that any time that we can have a growing mass out there, that root mass that's growing and promoting microbial activity is going to increase our soil organic matter and keep that mycorrhiza very healthy to mineralize nutrients and make those available to the next year's crop.
All right, Eric, I know I got this question at the Ag PhD Field Day from a number of farmers who were looking at Soil Warrior machines. And one of the guys said, what is the deal with this cogwheel and why is it different? What does it do to help me when I'm doing strip tillage?
Well, the big thing that it does is that deep cogwheel does that deep fracturing and allows for that deeper root penetration, but replaces really a sank or a ripper type method of doing that. A couple of benefits to that are, one, if you're in a little bit too wet conditions, you're not going to slick off the sidewalls where that shank runs or make a kind of a slick trench at the bottom where that ripper, that shank foot would go. It leaves a bit more of a corrugated bottom to that. So a lot of our customers farm some pretty hilly ground. And there's always a concern of, boy, if I do some deep tillage and do some deep nutrient placement like we're able to do a strip tillage, will that wash out?
Absolutely.
Yep. So the cogwheel helps us mitigate that. It leaves a different shape or texture to the bottom of that strip and really resists some of that washing.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting just to look at the job that today's strip tillage machines are doing compared to some of the first things that came out on the market. It's really impressive. We've been talking with Eric Moore with Environmental Tillage Systems and the Soil Warrior machines. Just looking at what a difference it makes building organic matter, preserving soil, certainly one of the real keys when you're trying to build things up for the long term. Hey, Eric, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on today.
Well, thank you, Darren. It was a pleasure to be there.